You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday, June 1st, halfway through the year. How did that happen? I got a birthday coming up this month. This is a good month. Keith Alexander in studio with me as we broadcast to the world tonight via the Liberty News Radio Network and our online simulcast at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We actually have a caller on the line, and we're going to get to him in just one fleeting moment. But first, Keith has to go back to the final story we were covering during the first hour, the tail end of the segment with Peter Scoop Stanton, about the decline of IQ, 14 points among Westerners since the end of the Victorian era, about 120, 130 years ago.
You know, Westerners would include Americans, right? Australians, Europeans. And if we apply the same, it just occurred to me over the break, if we apply the same calculus that the book The Bell Curve did, that 15 points equals 16%, in other words, if a standard deviation point difference because of the bell curve distribution, and that's key, the bell curve distribution, not a pyramid, not a gradually sloping at the same pace throughout, but instead a bell-shaped curve where you drop off the cliff. What this means is basically there's a standard deviation point between the average intelligence of Westerners, that's all Westerners, between today and the, let's say, the Victorian age. So consequently, only 16% of modern Westerners are as smart as or smarter than the average Victorian. And only 16% of people living in the Victorian age are as dumb as or dumber than, you know, the average person, too. So, you know, this is just it's an incredible revelation. I don't know if this is true and correct or not, or whether this is something that's suspect, but it was reported by the mainstream media. And if we assume that it's true, it tells you many things. One, it gives a lie to the liberal notion that people today are one, smarter, and two, better people than their ancestors. You know, they have this idea in progress, all changes for the better, and they are more moral because they're not racist, and they're smarter because they're liberal and their ancestors weren't than people in prior times. This is a direct refutation of that idea, for example. And furthermore, it shows that the, what would you call it, the diversification, the multiracialism that has come about and swamped the West, not only America, but Europe, Australia, everywhere else, is having dire consequences on the intelligence of the population generally. And as James said, we are probably, as a result, going to see an end to all of these technological advances that we have experienced over the past century.
Well, Keith, I would certainly say that the fact that this country would not only elect but re-elect Barack Obama, assuming you believe that the vote count was accurate, which no one is really going to bet their life on, would show that the IQ has definitely plummeted amongst our people. But anyway, we got a caller who's been waiting patiently, and it's a very good friend of the program, a loyal listener and contributor, Brian in Arkansas. Brian, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good, James. How are you doing?
Well, my night got a little bit better with the fact that you called in. What can we do for you?
Well, nothing much. Normally, we listen to the show at home, but tonight we are listening to you on the radio for the first time. We are in Memphis, and a neighbor has one of their daughters going to college abroad, and she's fixing to board an airplane in the a.m. hours in the morning. so half the community is here in Memphis to see her off, and we've got the little alarm radio in the motel room with your show going on. And I thought, well, I've got to tell you, got to give you a call and tell you that you've got some fans here in Memphis for sure. And also, I want to say that we really like the new website too. It looks really sharp.
Well, Brian, you had something to do with that, as you well know, and everyone who has contributed to the show this year did. But I got to take issue with you, my friend. You were in Memphis, and you didn't give us advance warning that me and Keith would take you out to dinner. You know we like to do that.
It was not planned. It came up at the spur of the moment. I mean, as you know, it rained most of the day here.
Yes,
and
it did.
When we left Arkansas, we were planning on coming to the Memphis Zoo, and halfway here, the bottom fell out. So now, instead, we went and had some Memphis barbecue. Let's see, what is it? The one down the alley, Rendezvous.
Right, Rendezvous.
Yeah. And went and had some Memphis barbecue, and now we're just relaxing here at the room. But now, I wished if I'd had advance notice, I sure would have. I would have called you ahead of time.
Well, listen, we're going to use this nationally syndicated radio broadcast to do a little bit of kibitzing here. So are you leaving early in the morning, or what's your schedule? We might just make plans here on the radio in front of everybody listening and God himself.
Yeah, we're, yes, my family are just now coming in from uptown, and then I didn't catch but about half of that. Some of your fellow Memphians just pulled in the parking lot, and boy, they make a lot of racket. Could you please repeat that?
Well, no, I was just saying that if you were going to be sticking around for any part of the day tomorrow, we would still get together. Of course, we'll have to make plans off air for that. But you just let me know.
Yeah.
It's funny that you went to the Rendezvous, because the last time we had a visiting dignitary, and Keith, you'll remember this gentleman, a fellow from Canada who, like Brian, is just a super fan of the show, and God bless him. We took him to the Rendezvous. So all Cesspool listeners and hosts flocked to the Rendezvous.
Yeah, it's a good place to eat. Guarantee you. I really enjoyed it. We're going to be around tomorrow. I think the plan is, if the zoo's open, we're going to try to hit that tomorrow. And right now, that's the only thing we have planned. But from what I hear, it's a pretty big place. It'll take all day.
Memphis actually has a world-class zoo, believe it or not. Not much of Memphis is good anymore, but the zoo is, and so you'll enjoy that. But listen, if you need any company, give Keith a call. I'll volunteer him. No, give me a call, too. I know you got my number. Here's Keith. He wants to say hello to you before we go to the next break.
Hey, Brian. Right. Are you from anywhere near DeWitt, Arkansas?
From where?
DeWitt, Arkansas.
No, but I have a lot of family from there.
Well, I just wanted to tell you and our audience generally, I don't normally go to the movie theater today, because most of the product that is spun out by Hollywood is poisonous. But at the recommendation of my youngest son, I went to see a movie that is playing here in Memphis now that's an indie movie. And it's centered in DeWitt, Arkansas. It's called Mud. And it's an excellent movie, really, at least by today's standards. And it has Matthew McConaughey and Reese Witherspoon, and I would recommend you take a look at it as an Arkansan.
Brian, we got to take a break, buddy. Enjoy Memphis. Give us a call. We'll talk to you soon. For everybody else, we'll be back in just a moment.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. M-E-M-O-T-O-M-E.com. Memo to Me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad, is great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right. Always great to hear from Del Shannon. There we heard during the music of the bumper music. But no, I mean, Brian, listen, I'm not going to give out his full name, but this guy has been supporting the show for time immemorial, and one of our most, well, I said it before, our most steady contributors. God bless him. Great guy, great Southerner. It was on the backs of men like that this show was built, and so he is in town visiting from Arkansas tonight and listening to us on the local AM dial. And welcome to Memphis, Brian. Hope you enjoy your stay and hope you survive it as well. This is Memphis after all. Hope you're in East Memphis and not South Memphis. But anyway, Keith has gone behind enemy lines with the local Memphis newspaper. And let's see what he has for us this evening. Still a lot more to come tonight. I mean, we have got a lot more news to cover, folks. We haven't really even gotten started yet, believe it or not.
Well, this is behind the a visit to Ground Zero here in Memphis and the wild and wonderful world of social experimentation in the laboratory known as Memphis, Tennessee, where you see where the rubber meets the road when social engineers get to have free rein to change society as they wish. Here is an article from the Tuesday, May the 14th, Commercial Appeal, entitled, it's on the front page, Exam Cheat Gets 7 Years. Sub headline, made 200K, that's 200,000, hiring standards for teacher test. Here's what he says. When he began taking money from teachers who wanted stand-ins to take their certification tests, Clarence Mumford would tell colleagues, business is booming. Over the course of 15 years or more, the former assistant principal and guidance counselor, who was sentenced Monday to 7 years in prison, made up to $200,000 by offering struggling teachers hope for a price. He always says it costs to be ignorant, said Devin Rutherford, who acknowledged he was paid in the neighborhood of in the neighborhood, he himself was paid in the neighborhood of $5,000 to take tests for people. he was recruited by Mumford. Now, this has come to light. This reflects light or shines light on several of the chronic problems that you have in a place like Memphis with a large minority population. First of all, the absolutely, you know, lemming-like desire to have public employment. Black people, let's just be absolutely blunt about it, black people in Memphis prize government employment over all other employment and all other vocations. Why? What is it about being on the public dole, either on welfare or getting a check for supposedly working in the Memphis school system, for example, that is so attractive to blacks? Well, first of all, blacks now run this city. The superintendent is black. They were thinking about possibly letting the guy that had been the head of the old predominantly white Shelby County school system be the head of the new unified Memphis and Shelby County school system now that Memphis surrendered its charter to have its own school system. They basically want to shift the costs onto the white people in the county rather than being solely or primarily paid for by the majority black population in Memphis. When they did that, when they shifted that, of course, they're, you know, they considered briefly, for maybe for a nanosecond, having this white superintendent who had consistently navigated the Shelby County school system to be one of the top five in the state of Tennessee, but they dismissed that immediately as errant nonsense and hired a black man to be in charge. And of course, most of the teachers likewise are black because, of course, no one except a black person can teach a black child anything. We all know that because people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have told us that for time in memoriam. Well, there, it's the biggest job trough of them all for the black community that is seeking public sector jobs in Memphis, and that would be 100% of the working age population, is the school system. That hires more people than others. Now, not only, and you can't let a little thing like qualifications or education get in the way of ambitious black people that want to work in public employment like teaching children, the majority of whom are black. This is what comes of all of that. You have cheating to get obviously unqualified people, people that can't take a certification exam. This is the type of thing that you shouldn't even have to study for, and James can fill you in more on that. But these people are so abysmally ignorant, they can't pass that, but nonetheless, they find a dishonest way to get certified, to pass the test by having a stand-in come in provided by none other than this Clarence Mumford character. And then they're there to pass on their ignorance to the next generation of black students in Memphis, and you wonder why nothing ever seems to improve. Again, none of this is being orchestrated by white people, the evil white people that are, you know, secretly running the world and doing everything they can to frustrate black people. This type of sabotage is being done by blacks, for blacks, and, you know, totally controlled by them. This is what is happening. Clarence Mumford, by the way, is black. What a surprise. This is what's happened. Then we have two more articles in here. One is called Suit Challenges Renaming of Parks. The Sons of Confederate Veterans, bless their hearts, have hired an attorney and they filed a suit in Chancery Court in Memphis before one of our two black chancellors challenging the legality of renaming Nathan Bedford Forest Park, Confederate Park, and Jefferson Davis Park to some, you know, silly names that have nothing to do with the history of Memphis or anything else. And this is related to the next story I've got, which is that proposed unified school budget gets $1.2 billion. Education spending would be the lowest level since 07. Well, the black mayor and majority black city council is always threatening to raise taxes. We now have a majority supermajority state legislature of Republicans, which is code word in Memphis for white people. And these people have now closed the loop. They've closed the loophole. No longer can the city of Memphis just annex white flight areas without the consent of the people that are being annexed. Now the people that are being annexed would have to approve the annexation, the proposed annexation, before it could go through. And as you can imagine, that's never going to happen. So consequently, they're running out of OPM, other people's money, the other people in this case being white people. Now, because of that, what does that have to do with the renaming of the Confederate parks? Well, the renaming of the Confederate parks is a power play by the new black leadership of Memphis to show that they are large and in charge and that they don't take no mess. A.C. Wharton, who was supposed to be this polished individual, so unlike our previous black mayor who was kind of confrontational and in your face, even said that you people, meaning white people, could name parks after your heroes in the past, but you can no longer do that. It's inappropriate today, particularly in a black-run city, a black-majority city, to have parks named after Confederate heroes. Well, what does this have to do with what we were talking about running out of money? Well, basically, they've just set out a sign on Memphis that white people are no longer welcome here by renaming the parks.
With that, we're going to take a break, put the brakes on Keith, but we'll let him go full throttle right after these words. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, despite Art Frith's prompting, we seldomly open the phone lines, believe it or not. But we will open them right now after spurred on by Brian's riveting call a little bit earlier in the hour. A gentleman visiting from out of town tuned into us on the AM dial for the first time, getting to listen to us on the AM dial as we were on a couple of affiliates here in Memphis. Anybody else wants to call in and talk to me and Keith this hour? We're going to give you that limited window of opportunity. But first, you know, I always rib Keith for maintaining a subscription to the Commercial Appeal, for reading it, for the masochist he must be. To suffer through each and every article. But he does it for a good reason. He suffers for your good, folks. He's able to read them, then dissect them. He's like the mad scientist. He gets these creatures out of the swamp, and then he brings them into the studio and dissects them live on the radio each and every Saturday. Keith, tell us about it.
Breaking down the Orwellian newspeak of the Commercial Appeal is harder than reading tea leaves, people. But on the other hand, it's more rewarding. Like I said, what I left off with before this break was that the renaming of the Confederate theme parks by the black political leadership of Memphis was a way, in effect, of hanging out a sign on Memphis saying white people, or particularly conservative white people, no longer welcome. Well, if they're no longer welcome, guess what? Most of the white people in the Memphis-Shelby County area are conservative. Furthermore, white people, when they perceive that they're not wanted, don't want to be party crashers like certain people we could name. They leave, but when they leave, their money leaves with them, which brings you to the constant conundrum, the eternal question, the internal Gordian knot to be solved or untied by black politicians, which is how to get the white people's money without getting their votes, or to state it another way, how to get their money while on the other hand denying them any voice whatsoever in how they are governed and taxed. That's what they want to do. Well, they can't do it now because the state legislature has closed that window of opportunity for Memphis. Memphis can no longer annex, or neither can any other city annex, areas without the consent of the people that are being annexed, which means there ain't going to be any more annexations. At least not in the foreseeable future. And that means that majority black Memphis is going to have to get by on the taxes they can raise from other black people that live in Memphis for the most part. And if they continue to try to raise the taxes, more and more white people will leave until Memphis becomes the new Detroit, or the new Gary, Indiana, or the new East St. Louis, Illinois, or the new Oakland, California, or Birmingham, Alabama. St. Louis, Missouri. You just, you know, pick the cities. We have so many of them here in America that are going into free fall. The decay of urban areas brought on, like I said, by the triumph of liberalism, which began with the Brown versus Board of Education decision back on May the 17th, 1954. Well, because of all of this, there is, you know, how in the world, this is a dilemma because the black leadership certainly doesn't want to pull any punches with white people. They want to milk their cow through the fence the way they always have done and get their money and give them no voice whatsoever in government once they reach majority status. But this is, you know, this is going to show you exactly what happens. They can, if they run people out, if they run white people out of Memphis, their tax base will shrink. They are, if they want to maintain government services, i.e. government jobs for black people, at the current levels, they will have to raise taxes. Raising taxes will just run more and more prosperous citizens out of the city until you have a welfare-dependent hellhole like Detroit, Michigan. That is the long-term and short-term future of Memphis, unless the leadership of Memphis does something that really shows leadership, like, for example, telling the white people, you know, you can have your Confederate name parks. We are sensitive to you. This is another example of why having white leadership in government is important. Put the shoe on the other foot. Can you imagine any majority white town or city in America with a white mayor and a majority white city council or town council unnaming the ubiquitous Martin Luther King Boulevard that exists in almost every city, town, and hamlet in America? It wouldn't be done. Why wouldn't it be done? Is it because everybody agrees that Martin Luther King was such a paragon of virtue that everybody worships him? Sorry, wrong answer. Moral paragons don't have to have their FBI files sealed for 50 years like they had to do with Martin Luther King in order to pass the Martin Luther King holiday, which was brought to you by none other than that supposedly great conservative Ronald Reagan. No, it wouldn't be done, and it wouldn't be done because the white leadership is sensitive to the feelings of other people, not of their race, like black people, like Hispanic people. They don't go up there sandpapering a wildcat's ass, as they say here in the South. But the black leadership does, and quite frankly, the black leadership is going to have to learn a lesson intact, or else, welcome to the new Detroit, Memphis, Tennessee.
All right, Keith, well, we are firmly behind enemy lines right now as we're sifting through articles that have been featured in our Daily Fish Wrap, the Commercial Appeal. Keith, do you ever read anything in the Commercial Appeal that you agree with?
Very infrequently, and if I do, it's because they've said something by accident. They had an article that we touched on last week about the deteriorating situation in South Africa. And, of course, the correspondent that was making this report, I think it was on one of the news wires. It wasn't some local luminary on the newspaper staff of the Memphis Commercial Appeal, known as the Communist Appeal to people here locally, because they don't have the candle power to do it. But this person on the AP wire, probably, that provided it, said it must be because the quality of leadership has gone down. Jacob Zuma is just not the, you know, spiritual Superman, overman that Nelson Mandela was. And, of course, that's baloney. That ignores the 800-pound gorilla in the living room race. The primary difference between the prosperous South Africa of the past and the South Africa that is in economic freefall that exists today is that you move from white leadership to black leadership. That's the truth they'll never tell, but the fact that they even reported this decline. In the past, the news media in the West blithely ignored deteriorating circumstances in places like Zimbabwe and in South Africa. Now, they're at least reporting it, even though they're putting a dishonest spin on it.
Well, Keith, you mentioned South Africa, and I actually have a story that I had intended to get into during the third and final hour tonight, but we'll go ahead and move it up in the lineup just a bit. You know, South Africa is so often vilified because for a time there, they had segregation, or apartheid as they called it, no different than what Israel has right now. Of course, Israel can have it in the year 2013, and it's all well and good. No one, not a word is said. They're not taken to task. People, if ever asked, well, of course they segregate themselves from the Palestinians. Why wouldn't they? Well, that's an interesting answer. Well, for a while, South Africa had that, and for a while, South Africa was a first world nation. Neither is the case anymore, of course. And over 60,000 white farmers have been murdered by the indigenous population of South Africa since the end of apartheid. 60,000, including the wife of a farmer who was murdered as her children watched just here within the last couple of days. And it's another typical day in South Africa. And this is what the story reads out of one of the daily publications in South Africa. Two small children aged 5 and 3 watched in horror as their mom was brutally murdered by black thugs on their South African farm. The children watched as Vanessa Stafflu, 34 years old, was shot in the back of the head, execution style, as she was forced to kneel before her killers. The traumatized children ran into the night. The 5-year-old boy courageously took his tiny sister as he walked 2 kilometers towards his grandmother's homestead. The father, Williams DeFlew, later reported that his wife suffered a black eye, indicating she was assaulted prior to the murder. There was nothing stolen, suggesting that the murder was a racial hate crime. DeFlew was working at a nearby dairy farm when the intruders murdered his wife. Another farmer, Koos Van Ruven, was murdered in the area 13 months earlier. We're going to get back to this story right after the break, folks. As horrific as it is, this is why it's the political cesspool. We have to talk about stuff like this. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's probably not going to get any better than that last little sound clip of the intro of Let's Hang On by the Four Seasons. We don't have a Victoria's Secret supermodel on deck this week. We're fresh out. We tapped our entire inventory last week with Kylie Basuti. But we got Eddie Miller in a Speedo, if you wish, but that's about it. Or we could get Eddie. Actually, Eddie's not coming into work tonight. But nevertheless, Keith, back to the just just terrible story out of South Africa. Yet another white farmer, or the wife of a white farmer in this case, you know, if there ever was something to be called a hate crime, this is it. And so it's something that's afflicted over 60,000 white South Africans being brutally murdered and raped and tortured at the hands of the majority population there since the end of apartheid. And these incidents, which are too numerous to even accurately document in South Africa, should spark global outrage. I mean, this should be something, you know, if Hillary Clinton and all of these liberal so-called do-gooders were truly sincere in their attempts to advocate for social justice, the suffering of the white South Africans would be number one on the list. But instead, you know, you got sissy white Americans too busy offering nonsensical apologies for slavery to worry themselves with instances of racial hatred that actually are occurring in this century. And my heart breaks, truly does break, for the terrorized and forgotten white South Africans. This mother being brutally murdered in front of her two kids, 5 and 3, they're going to have to live with that. And I just pray that she'll be able to find the peace in death that multiculturalism couldn't afford her in life.
Yep, we're in the real Orwellian animal farm where all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Apparently, it's terrible if white people visit violence upon black people. In fact, it's so terrible that it never happens anymore, or virtually never happens. And if it does happen, it is front page news throughout the world. On the other hand, occurrences like the one that James just described in South Africa and Zimbabwe are weekly occurrences, and the silence is deafening. You know, let's look back to what apartheid means. You know what apartheid means? It means a peace for everybody. What's wrong with that? Apparently, some people don't get a peace. Again, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. What's happening in South Africa should raise a outraged cry throughout the world. Where is America? Where is Britain? Where is the civilized world in offering asylum to these people? Apparently, the only people that we could possibly hope to grant asylum to these besieged people in South Africa and Zimbabwe would be Vladimir Putin in today's world. There's no other white leader of a nation in the world that is proud of white people or feels any protective instincts towards white people. And as a result, civilization is plummeting in both America, Europe, Australia, everywhere else, because of the treason of the elites, the treason of our leaders. Our leaders don't represent us. Black and other non-white leaders definitely represent the interests of their tribes. But this is what we have to contend with in today's world. Now, why in the world isn't asylum being granted to people as besieged as this? Well, let's go into the background of it. When the Western democracies started putting pressure on the South African government to end their apartheid regime, which was the only reasonable regime that could provide both prosperity and peace to South Africa, one of the first things that the international community did was revoke Commonwealth status to South Africa and South Africans. So consequently, South Africans, particularly white South Africans, had nowhere to go when things started to get tough, as all, you know, reasonable, sensible people predicted would happen under black rule if apartheid was ended in South Africa and in Rhodesia. Meanwhile, Jews like Alanna Mercer and her rabbi father, who were at the forefront of trying to push the anti-apartheid movement, when they started to see how bad things would get, they had the perennial get out of jail free card. They could take the next flight to Tel Aviv, where the red carpet would be rolled out for them, regardless of what their background was, regardless of whether they were religious Jews or atheists like Allen Ginsberg. All Jews, actually, being a Jew is not a religion so much as it is an ethnic and racial identity, so consequently, they all get to be free. They can destroy your nation like they did South Africa, like they're trying to do to the United States, Australia, Europe, and all the rest, and they get to go to their nation. And guess what? They tell you all the time that we're liberal because we're the world's conscience. We're the people that just have to stand up for freedom in the face of, you know, the establishment everywhere. Well, that's an Orwellian lie. That's a lie, the big lie of Orwellian proportions, because if that were true, if that were actually true, Israel would be the most liberal place on earth. Instead, it's one of the most conservative. They totally limit immigration to Israel to Jews. I don't care how slavish a philo-Semite or friend of the Jews you are, you cannot immigrate and become a citizen of the state of Israel. But all Jews can come there. Furthermore, all important government positions and access to select colleges and universities all come are all reserved for Jews. Palestinians are treated as badly as any minority has been treated anywhere. Palestinians wish they could have been treated as well as blacks were treated in the so-called bad old days of segregation in America and elsewhere, or even in the apartheid regimes of South Africa and Rhodesia. So let's call a spade a dirty shovel. Let's start telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. White people are the special victim class of racial discrimination today. We're not the discriminators. We're those discriminated against. And it's time for people to wake up, smell the coffee, and do something about it. If you don't protect yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. Like Winston Smith has said numerous times on this show, at any moment of any day, of any week, of any month, of any year, somewhere on this spinning globe called planet Earth, there is a group of white people meeting, wringing their hands, worried to death about how they can improve the life of non-whites somewhere in the world. In fact, there are probably numerous groups meeting at any moment of the day and night throughout the world. Meanwhile, you can say with equal assurance that at any moment of any day, of any week, of any month, of any year, there is no group of non-whites meeting, wringing their hands, worried about how they can alleviate the suffering of white people like the white people in South Africa that were featured in this latest outrageous story to come across the wires from South Africa. This is genocide, and genocide is supposedly against the UN Charter and against international law, but apparently, like Orwell said, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others, and some have no rights whatsoever.
Keith, it's hard to transition in only about a minute that we have left with you. Of course, the third and final hour is forthcoming still, but this is Keith's last minute or two with us until next week. To transition from an issue as serious as that to something as trivial as what we're about to cover here in the final seconds of this hour is hard to do, but I was checking the basketball score in the Eastern Conference Finals game between Indiana and Miami during that last commercial break, and we were talking about the firing of the L.A. Clippers head coach Vinny Del Negro, and you can give us a little background on that.
Well, Vinny Del Negro, contrary to his name, is white, and the big star of the Los Angeles Clippers are Blake Griffin, who is mulatto of some type, and a black guy named Chris Paul, who is an excellent point guard. Chris Paul made the comment that he hopes that the Clippers now get a black coach. And even the Blue State America Jewish-picked sports commentators of the East Coast, Blue State America, some of them found this outrageous. One of them said, what if Mark Gasol, who is white and is the center of the Memphis Grizzlies, had said, I want a Spaniard or a white guy to be our next coach if Lionel Hollins gets hired away somewhere else? There would be such an outcry that Mark Gasol would be made to walk the plank. He wouldn't play another minute of basketball in the NBA. He would be crucified and cast into the outer darkness. He'd be like Cain sent east of Eden. Once and forever. But on the other hand, Chris Paul can say this, and as they say, the silence is deafening.
Just another compare and contrast, another example of the hypocrisy of race and politics in today's America. And this is what we are here to get into and to chronicle and to attempt to make sense of each and every night here in the Political Cesspool. Well, Keith, great work tonight. You punched the clock as you always do. You're here every week, and the audience is all the better for it. In fact, needless must say to you, you have, of course, become a star in your own right on this show, and that is why you are the feature of our quarterly fundraising drive, which just kicked off earlier this week. More information about that, folks, when the Political Cesspool continues right after this.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.